Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual will. But before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. And the following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The spiritual will is something of which humanity knows nothing. It is hidden and veiled by the self-will of the individual and the group will of the soul. Through both of these experiences, the human being moves until his individual will is developed and grounded, focused and reoriented, and his group will is unfolded so that it includes and swallows up the dedicated individual will. When this fusion has taken place, a great revelation unfolds, and for the first time, the initiate senses and then contacts the universal will. From that moment, the initiate says, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." I'm sure you'll want to discuss all the points raised in this opening thought, but to begin with, why do you think humanity knows so little about the spiritual will?
Well, I think the answer is that the personal self-will is still the ruler of most people's lives. It's that voice in us that says, I want, I will have this. That unbridled demand that so many people, even good people, place upon life and upon what they expect life owes them. And the self-will is not just a lower form of the spiritual will. It's actually an impediment to it, because it is the emotional demand of the desire nature that we call self-will. The spiritual will is something else altogether different.
Right, and this is rather difficult to kind of grasp, I think, because...
It's very difficult.
It is difficult.
Yeah.
And it takes some thought and some quiet thought and the ability to distinguish it or something greater than one's own personal will. We're all probably familiar with that because we have...
As at the age of two, we become very familiar with it.
Yeah. And
when it kicks
we're
in.
Familiar with the very self-willed people
mm-hmm.
who try to impose their will by force or by emphasis of what they desire should be done.
None of us ever do that.
Of course not.
Not.
So, I mean, we're familiar with that kind of will. But this is not the spiritual will. This is not the true will of God. We're very adept at saying, well, it's God's will that this happened, or it's God's will that I do this and that. But that isn't, in my estimation, that isn't a true definition of God's will, because it's that usually comes from a nearer source, I think.
I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding the spiritual will because they associate it with grim determination. They think of the will as coercion, as forcing something. By golly, I'm going to make this bolt fit in that place if it kills me. Mm-hmm. That kind of ramrod forcing desire, because it is an expression of the desire at that level, that's not the will. There's an expression for it that I like very much. The spiritual will is called effortless effort. And it's the kind of thing that happens when all the gears mesh, you could say. If you're riding a 10-speed bicycle up a hill and you're in the wrong gear, it's a tremendous effort. And you expend a lot of energy not getting anywhere much at all. But if you put the bike in the right gear and use your muscles in the right way, then things really move along. And that kind of effortless effort is something that singers experience, that athletes experience, when all the different propelling mechanisms, not only the physical but the mental and spiritual mechanisms, all seem to work as one.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that just because we express this effortless effort and just because we express our human's free will doesn't mean that it's not, there isn't a connection there with God's will. There is, because what we are expressing is just the lowest, the very lowest and the most material reflection of God's will. But we are beginning to, I think, reflect more deeply God's will in the sense of, as in the writings of the Bailey books, it points out that human planning is one of the aspects of the will of God working out through humanity.
Yes, the ability to have a vision and to hold it in the mind's eye, so to speak, and to persist over a long period of time to attain that vision is an expression of the will. Depending on what the goal is, I think, is the determinant of whether the will is really spiritual or just personal. Mm-hmm. But you're right, the ability to plan. That reminds me of something said about Churchill. I recently read a biography of him, and it struck me that he was a splendid example of the will on quite a high level. When he became Prime Minister of Britain, Britain was in the early stages of the World War, and Churchill was one of the few people probably in that nation that really saw the full extent of what was ahead of Britain. When you speak of planning, I think he was knowledgeable enough about the threat from Germany to know really what lay ahead of Britain, and yet he was implacable. And he said to the people, all I have to offer you is blood, sweat, and tears. He knew that it was going to be a very difficult period, but he said, never give up, never, never, never give up. And he reiterated that appeal in his radio broadcasts over a long period of time, constantly revivifying the will of the British people in the face of this horrendous threat from Germany. There was a good period of time when Britain didn't know if it was going to be able to stand up against the threat of the Axis powers. And yet Churchill, in spite of this terrible situation that Britain was in, spoke of how energized he felt in office.
And it's the ability to persist and to sustain that persistent effort, because there is this vision of a higher, greater vision, you know, to attain.
Maybe that's why the writings of Alice Bailey say that the spiritual will is incentive, not impulse. At first thought, this idea doesn't mean much of anything to most of us, but incentive suggests an enduring purpose that compels you over a period of time to towards its achievement. And I think that links in with what you were saying about persistence. whereas impulse is emotional desire. And the spiritual will is not impulsive, it's sustaining and enduring, much the way Churchill was over a period of years in his leadership of Britain against the forces of tyranny.
And it's also related to this whole question of will is more related to direction, planning and direction. I mean, that's the spiritual will directs the plan of God. And God has a great plan working out in the world. And humans are beginning to reflect this same impulse of planning and giving direction, more better direction to human progress and human evolution.
Again, it reminds me of a statement in the books of Alice Bailey that's always intrigued me, that nothing so awakens the spiritual will as a study of the plan through history. And you're saying that it's related to direction, I suppose, means that if you study history enough, you see the plan, the divine plan, unfolding. You can see a kind of a trajectory that is being charted by human experience and evolution, and it gives you hope. And it also helps you to see where we are headed. And in many ways, it can tell you that certain choices and directives that we are following really aren't going to lead us into a very good place. And the will can be manifested in this realization of the direction we're taking, the path we're headed on, and changes that are needed.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual will. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and it's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of the plan and true service. So what you need to do if you want to take advantage of the offer is ask for the book, write down that you'd like the book, Serving Humanity. And by the way, today's show is based on this book, Serving Humanity. So check for $16, check or money order, Serving Humanity. Send it to Lucis Publishing, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Just write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. Once again, $16 check for Serving Humanity to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And I just want to thank those listeners also who have been sending in letters expressing their appreciation of the show and what the show has meant to them. We appreciate them, and we may not respond to all of them because we can't, but nevertheless, we really like them a lot. And also, thank you very much for your tax-deductible donations. They're all tax-deductible donations. If you want to send donations, send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And those donations are both large and small, are certainly an expression to us of your support, and they're very much appreciated. And additionally, if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, if you want a general package of information that lets you know a lot about Lucis Trust, or if you'd like to know, if you'd like a schedule of our meditation meetings or tapes, previous tapes of radio shows, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. And although there's a lot of information on the website, one of the primary reasons people came to the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. So we're speaking today about the spiritual will. And, you know, when I read that statement by Alice Bailey, I almost looked upon it as being when once one assimilates the spiritual will into one's character, is it more or less like one becomes a different individual or a different thinking individual?
Well, I think so. It is transformative. And it's that transformational aspect hinges on the fact that when the individual will is engaged, something is liberated, a power is liberated. I think that realization lies behind the tremendous impulse in recent decades towards human rights, because the will is meant for group use, not for selfish use, the spiritual will, and yet it depends upon an anchorage in an individual human being to be effective, as if the brain and the individual mechanism of each human being has to be engaged. So often we think of will as coercive or overpowering, as an authority that would usurp our own free will. That's what we see in something like totalitarianism or dictatorship. But the spiritual will engages the individual in cooperation or collaboration with something much greater than the individual self. And in giving up one's will to that greater agenda, there's something liberated. It isn't the loss of individual freedom at all, but actually the unfoldment of a much wider vision. Don't you think that's what lay behind the experience of Christ in Gethsemane before he was brought before Pilate, when he finally said, "Not my will, but thine be done"?
Sure. He at that moment, which is called the time of the third initiation in the Bailey writings, he realized that there was this greater will of God that he merged himself with. Mm-hmm. And that's really the stage that every human being eventually has to go through, or many have already gone through, but all of us will go through this revelatory experience of merging with the greater will of God, and at that point one's own little personal will just kind of disappears. It's still there, but it's expanded, so it becomes this greater will of the group soul, and then beyond that, the will of God, the greater will of God as it works out the plan.
And yet it's not something that we gain by becoming passive and just giving up. There's an expression that's always kind of bothered me, and yet it's intriguing. We hear it a lot, let go and let God. Well, let's see. If you let go and you let God, in one way that's suggesting that you give up and you just turn your life over to what higher power you understand, and you say, I don't know what my life is meant to be about. I'm just going to allow God to guide me along. That bothers me a little, because that's sort of implying that the individual has no say in the unfoldment of his life. I don't think that's what the spiritual will is. I think we're supposed to be actively engaged in the plan of our life. We're supposed to use our mind and our vision to chart our course. But if we say that by devoting our life to something larger than our own personal wants and wishes and desires, God can work through us, then yes, I agree.
And it's usually because every life is established, is set up by the soul before it comes into the world.
And it has a plan,
it
yes.
has a plan. The soul mm-hmm. already has a plan for this life that you are living at the present time. And I think that's why the emphasis should be upon merging with the soul, because then you become more adept at understanding what that soul impulse is trying to convey and trying to express in the world through you.
And yet so often parents and teachers treat children as if they have to be mobilized and energized into doing something. And goodness knows my mother had to energize me. I was an inert sloth. I was through much of my childhood. And yet you're saying the soul comes into incarnation with a plan. I suppose the objective of parents and teachers is to help children awaken to what their reason for being on earth is. We can't tell the child what it is, but we can help the child awaken to it.
Absolutely, and I think that's the value of education, and to draw out, mm-hmm. to do what education is supposed to do, to draw out, educare, to draw out this spiritual being that is within the every human being. And that's the real purpose of education, to draw it out and let it be reflected in the world.
There's another element of the spiritual will that we haven't touched on that needs understanding, and that's that sometimes it works through destruction. Most spiritual people think that all that is spiritual is good and lovely and constructive. Yes, a lot of the time, but destruction is at times necessary. And that's because the outer forms of ideas, governments, human beings, religions, societies, all of those are aspects of the form. There is a stage in the evolution of every form where it becomes outmoded. Somewhere in the Bible it said you can't pour new wine into old bottles. At some point, forms have to be cast aside and replaced by better, more appropriate forms, whether we're speaking about a human's physical body or an institution or a form of government or whatever. In fact, if you think back to 1989, we saw a lot of destruction in the end of communism throughout Eastern Europe, and it was all to the good, ultimately. So the will sometimes works through the energy of destruction, and we have to allow it to unfold its processes and try to cooperate with it. I think we see this in the natural world, in the upheavals of nature that cause such devastation to the living things that are in the path of these destructive forces. And yet perhaps something is working out on an incredibly vast level that is leading toward the greater good.
There's a tendency there, you know, as you say, it's these great disasters. It's the after effect of the disasters that's perhaps the important thing, because it's people's reaction to the disaster that is drawing people together. It's creating a more greater sense of synthesis and right relationship. And that's really what's behind the plan, is to move people towards this idea of building right relationships.
And the relationships that we are asked to create are not just on the human level, but with kingdoms above and below us, with the kingdom of souls, the hierarchy, and with the lower kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral. Humanity is intended to be the agent of the will to the lower kingdoms, Alice Bailey said. The agent of the will. So that would suggest that the effect of humanity upon the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms should be that of energizing those kingdoms towards their own spiritual evolution. And you have to look at the way we relate to the environment, we human beings, and say maybe we are not doing exactly what the plan intends us as a species to do.
Well, it comes back to human planning again. We are gaining and acquiring this ability to plan. Probably don't do much of anything today without some kind of plan. We don't take a trip without a plan. We don't build a company without a plan, or have a conference without a plan. So it's acquiring this ability to plan, and that planning carries over into the way we plan about the environment and about the lower kingdoms, and it all comes into play.
One beautiful thought from the writings of Alice Bailey about the will that I find really speaks to me is that the secret of the will is closely tied in with the recognition of the unconquerable nature of goodness, she said, and the inevitability of the ultimate triumph of good. I think probably humanity as a whole probably divides into two camps on that idea. Those who believe essentially that we're going to hell in a handbasket, and those who do believe deep in their hearts that the plan of God, as mysterious as it is, seems to be unfolding towards the good of all creatures. And that's what's implied in this thought. Every week when we end our program, we say the Great Invocation. And there's a stanza in the Great Invocation that speaks of the door where evil dwells. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. That door where evil dwells is kept open through human selfishness and hatred and separativeness and through greed and racial and national barriers and people's love of power and cruelty. But as goodwill and light stream into human hearts and minds, these evil qualities will gradually lessen and give place to a longing for right human relations. And every one of us can contribute to that impulse toward the greater good of the larger whole. When we do that through forgiveness, through unselfishness, through sacrifice of our own personal preferences, we are contributing to the sealing of the door where evil dwells. And that's the essence behind the spiritual will.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of the plan and true service. So what you need to do is send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.